him open, and after each hymn, keep it open, because we will take our thoughts from the hymns. We'll see what Carol has to say for herself. Verse 2, we read, Christ, by highest heaven adored. Verse 3, we read, mild he lays his glory by. Have you any idea who this baby is? John gives us an idea in the book of Revelation. In the Bible, he has a vision which God has given him. He's privileged to have a preview into the heavenly scene, and this is what he sees. Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb, that's Christ, that's the name given to him because he surrendered his life willingly for those who believe in him. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered. I will append that and say voluntarily. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Many claim these things. Celebrities, millionaires, oligarchs, presidents. But true power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing is found only supremely and perfectly in Jesus Christ. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, blessing and honour and glory and power belongs to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. This is the baby who's left all this behind to come down to the sawdust and the filth down here, which we have created, in merciful grace and love. And did you notice that? Are you offended by the term mild? He lays his glory by. Namby-pamby. Mild he lays his glory. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. I'll tell you, if he hadn't made himself mild, if he had appeared unmild, you and me would be vaporized. We could not bear the blinding, searing holiness of a pure and spotless God. So in love and grace, so that you, the likes of you and me, sinners like you and me, can take him in. He makes himself, relatively speaking, by glorious standards, at least in Revelation, mild. If you like, a toned-down version that we could take in. And God in his wisdom brings him into the human race through a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, truly man, but truly sinless, because he hasn't inherited any of our diseases of sin. What a miracle. God walks this planet. He comes down to the likes of you and me. Mild. He lays all his glory by, and he agrees with Father that he will come for sinners like you and me. He volunteers. What a God. What a Saviour. And if I could be disrespectful for just 1 minute, apparently, if you were Christ, would you leave all this and come down for you? I wouldn't. They want to rebel against me and have their own way, let them get on with it. Oh, God, in his wisdom, knows that I'm a unless he intervenes, unless he takes initiative, you and me, we're done for. Praise God this Christmas for the Christ who is prepared to be born as a baby and rise up and feel all that we feel and experience all that we experience, yet without sin, so that he can truly lead sinners like you and me to God and make you right with him. This is your God. This is the only Almighty God. Why does he do this? Well, don't ask me how or why, but God, this is how God loves the world. It's not love like we sing about or do, you know. Here today, gone tomorrow. John Lennon says all you need is love. It's easy if you try. Well, if it's that easy, John, why doesn't everybody do it? He said the heart is changed, no one will love properly, and there will be no love. Peace is in heart to change. This is what God does by sending the baby, his son, for glory. He gives his son for undeserving sinners like you, so that if you believe in him, you believe what he says, you believe who he is, and you surrender to him and stop rebelling against his kingship, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Christ's presence in you and with you, if only you would believe. Let's sing again, shall we? Number 210 in your hymn books. 210. I think you better stay there, shall we? Otherwise you're going to be up and down. Alright? 210. Let's stand and sing, shall we?
Thank you.
substitute, but we're just taking our thoughts from that end. Now, verse 2, we see his shelter was a stable, his cradle was a stall or a feeding trough. You won't get one of them from Mother Care. And if we just considered Christ Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, your Lord, your Creator, whether you agree with that or not, that is a fact. Christ Jesus, Saviour and Lord, offers this Christmas to come and occupy your poor and mean and lonely heart in all your circumstances of life. Yes, he knows all about you. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. He knows what you're thinking. He knows who you are. He knows all about you right now. In fact, he understands things about you that you don't even understand about yourself at times. Mm. You know those days? Blob days, I call them. Do you have blob days? I have blob days. I feel like a blob. He knows you. He's been through the deepest recesses and archives of your hearts and minds. And the astonishing thing is, he still chooses to have dealings with the likes of you and me. This is our God. This is the God of the Bible. This isn't Muhammad or Buddha or anyone else. This is a personal, intimate God who is a God of grace and mercy to lost, helpless, silly sinners like us. Gracious and merciful. And again, we see that we're told in Philippians chapter 2, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And just look at those two lines at the end of verse 5. Were you puzzled by us? And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. What on earth is happening? Who are Christ's children? Who are God's children? Well, surely we're all God's children. Well, only in a general sense, we're his creatures by creation, but we're not all his children by adoption in the family. Those who have bent the knee to Christ and they confess all their sins in him and realise their need of him and have asked him to come in and change and clean up and transform, give a new heart and a new life, who are born again by his Holy Spirit, who know him personally, sense him and feel him deep inside. These are his children. And he leads them on to the place where he is gone. The cross on Calvary is empty. He's gone to heaven. He's returned back, he's risen from the dead, the baby has grown and he's completed his task. And if you are a child of God, he leads you on to the cross, the place where he is gone. There is no dead Christ on a cross anymore, away with such things. It's an empty cross, a risen Saviour, a victorious cross who's overcome death. The grave. The only hope this Christmas for you and anybody else. No one else. No one else. Jesus Christ himself said, John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. that either makes Jesus the biggest two-faced liar that's walked the face of the earth, or he's who he said he is. Mm. And that's why I do this week in and week out, because I know that he's who he says he is. Mm. Okay. Let's worship him again, shall we? 220. 220. In their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. Just another day, just another shift. This is a night shift in particular, but no matter. Just an ordinary day. And the angel of the Lord comes down. Whoa, hold on a minute, that doesn't happen. Shepherds. I mean, you couldn't get more humble and mundane than a shepherd. One of the most unaspiring occupations you could imagine. I would say a road sweeper, because you can't get a job as a road sweeper these days, it pays too well. Someone who cleans out the toilets. Someone who delivers the newspapers. A mean and lowly and humble people. This is who God sends an angel to. This is eyewitness accounts we got here. Eyewitness accounts, Luke 2, you read it. Luke, a doctor who was used to making meticulous records, would have double checked this. He would have got the statements. Eyewitness accounts. Yes, we saw an angel. We saw an angel. And this is what he said. And then there was a load of them. Terrifying it was. He doesn't turn up with his angel at St. Tropez at the back of a wall, saw the celebrities and announce to them, you special people. He doesn't turn up at the Elysee Palace with all the French government and president saying, you special people. He doesn't turn up in St. Petersburg with President Putin and say, you special people. He doesn't turn up in trucks out, wherever that is. Use special people. He doesn't turn up in Hollywood or anywhere else. Shepherds doing a night shift, another day, another job. I mean, you couldn't get more humble and unassuming, could you? God defies the world's standards. It's not to the proud. It's not to those who think they're powerful or affluent or influential. It's not to the rich or the famous. It's not for the glitzy label gazers on get me out of here, I'm a celebrity. No personalities, no celebrities, no kings, no queens, no presidents, no billionaire oligarchs. Shepherds. Shepherds. That's who makes this incredible announcement first, too. And it's such as these that God would visit tonight. Yes, even you, in your unassuming, humdrum life, who feels so unimportant, unnoticed, doing your day shift, or your night shift, or whatever it is, tucked away in your little back street, it's to you and the likes of you that Christ would visit. God would peer into your life and enter your life and change your life. Not with the rich, not with the powerful, not with the influential. They're nothing, they will come and go. God will see to that. But where is your soul? In whose hands have you placed it today? So think about the shepherds. Think about yourself. And think. And if God takes notice of such as these and would come and make a special announcement to such as these, then he's prepared, if you will look into his word, to have a special word and a pronouncement for you. Let's sing again, shall we? 200 and 9.
Thank you.
in verse 1 of that carol that we just sang, we read, O little town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem. There it is. Not the sort of place you'd be in a rush to move to. Once it was known as David's City. I used the word city in inverted commas. It was just a place where David stayed for a while, so it, like, you know, became a regis in Britain, if you like. It got the royal city, but it's only, it's just a tin pot town, basically, and it's frankly, by the time you get to the birth of Christ, it's well past its sell-by date. The glitter is wearing off. You know, I mean, Newtown, Colchester was, believe it or not, a new town, once upon a time. Back in 1939, when this place was first bought and built. I wasn't here then, by the way. Look at it now. Pretty run down, isn't it? Run of the mill. A bit like Bethlehem, really, past its symbol, I don't. But that's where God, in accordance with his word, is going to have the Saviour born. There is a prophecy in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, don't worry to try and find it, several hundred years before, and it says this, but you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you. Prophesied. So, Quirinius has got the idea, he's going to have a census, get more taxes, and he's going to get everybody there. And so, God moves the whole Roman Empire, at great inconvenience to everybody, to get Mary from A to B, because that's where the Saviour, my son, Jesus Christ, has to be born in accordance with the prophecy. And so he puts the idea in the mind of Caesar Augustus, and the whole Roman Empire has to move because God says so, because his Saviour is going to be born in Bethlehem. That's who we deal with. The God of the universe. The God of history. The God who arranges the affairs of people and of mankind. And empires will come, and empires will go. The Roman Empire, as great as it was, as soon as it had served its purpose, God had done with it, and we moved on to another empire. And they're all lying in dust and ashes, because God will manoeuvre everyone and everything for his son, and history is being manoeuvred to that point in time when his son will return, not as a baby, but as Lord and King and Judge. That's what's going on in the cosmos. Okay? Never mind what the politicians tell you. God is sovereign and he is in control. And he's bringing and he's moving and manoeuvring everything to that point in time. So Christ is born in Bethlehem in accordance with the prophecy. How silently we read in verse 3. Quiet, little, sleepy Bethlehem, although it wasn't quite so quiet and sleepy when Joseph and Mary turned up at the season with people trying to find a place to stay because they had to be counted for this census which God had put in the mind of Caesar Augustus. How silent, quiet. No PR department, no website, no Facebook, no Twitter, no anything. Quietly, silently. I mean, the angels and told everybody, nobody would have noticed. But God made sure that it's noticed by the right people, the humble of heart. This is what God says in Isaiah. Chapter 66. Heaven is my throne. Okay, that's the cosmos. I created this. I trust you don't believe the science fiction called evolution and Big Bang. I created all this. I held it together perfectly in my hands. Heaven The cosmos is my throne, I inhabit every part of it. The earth is, figuratively speaking, my footstool. But take note of this. When it comes down to a personal relationship with God, this is the one I will look to, says God. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's the person I will come and have dealings with. Not the proud, not the arrogant, not the brash, not the boastful, not the fist shakers, but him who knows, she who knows her situation and her need, who knows that they're not fooled by Satan's delusions and his control like a puppet master of all that goes on in society, feeding on the drugs of everything and every distraction he can come up with, yes, even all the sentimentality of Christmas. And you know, still, despite all the tinsel and the feel-good factor, that on January the 2nd, you will be just as empty and aching as you were on December the 24th, before the maelstrom started. Is it going to be like every other Christmas? And the Christmas before, and the Christmas before, and the Christmas before. Christ is here tonight. His Holy Spirit, I know he's speaking to you. And he's showing you from his word, this is real stuff we're dealing with here. This is the real God. This is the personal God. This is the Saviour God. The God of the Bible, the God of history. This is real stuff. Silently. The world is rushing on outside. I guarantee you now there's a 10-mile tailback trying to get into some Tesco's down the road. And yet God says, I am with him who is humble and contrite and knows his need. You need this baby. You need this man on the cross. You need your sins dealt with and taken away. You need a new heart. You want a life of peace and satisfaction and contentment. With no fear of the grave, because you know your soul has been handed over to him, and Christ has got you safe and a place reserved for you to be with him. That's what you need. Is that what you want? How silent, unobserved by everybody around, is Christ speaking to you now? Can you feel his breath? Can you feel the music of his words? There is hope. There is certain truth. There is unwavering love. There is the God of the Bible who has taken the initiative and sent his son for undeserving rebels like the enemy. Let's see what we've got, 216. 200. Thank you. Set out on his earthly ministry, leading up in 3 years later to his death on the cross and his resurrection. He comes to the synagogue and he walks straight up, and the scroll of the scriptures is handed to him, and he reads this from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. He, Jesus, rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you just heard has been fulfilled this very day. In fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah approximately 700 years prior, Jesus makes the claim that that is talking about me, the coming Messiah. I am he, the promised one. And he's come to set his people free. Who are his people? The Jews? Is he a Jewish freedom fighter? No. Who are Christ's people? Well, since the demise of the Israelite nation and kingdom, there's only two kingdoms spiritually. There always was only two kingdoms spiritually. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. If you're found in Christ, if Christ is found in you, you are in the kingdom of light. If you haven't had dealings yet with Jesus Christ, as much as this may offend you, you are still in the kingdom of darkness. Satan's very good and subtle these days. We saw that this morning, didn't we? Of keeping people duped in their self-respect, their self-righteousness, their religiosity. You know, don't listen to that bloke. He's voted to you. You're not so bad. You're a nice person. Well, I'm pleased about that, because it's nice to be nice. It's good to be good. But you can never be nice enough or good enough out of your own merits and efforts to impress God enough to persuade him to allow you into heaven. You're never going to do it. It's not going to happen. It will not be all right on the light in your own efforts. And that's why Jesus came, to be a saviour, to bring forgiveness, to bring a righteousness that you need, a holiness that you can never have or earn yourself. Jesus kept God's word and was obedient perfectly, so that when you put your faith in him, his obedience becomes yours, his righteousness becomes yours, and you can stand before God then justified by faith. Not effort or works, not ticking boxes. You'll never be able to tick in those boxes. You must surrender. It's a matter of faith. You must believe in Jesus, who he says he is, the Saviour of the world, who takes away your sin if you would but hand it over to him. You must believe he's who he says he is, the Son of God, the only way, the only truth, the only life, and that no one can come to the Father anyway unless they come through him. You've got to come to Jesus and have dealings with him. This is nothing fiery or outlandish. I'm telling you, this is the gospel. It's here in black and white. Read it for yourself. I can give you a load of flannel and, you know, say, smile, Jesus loves you, and, you know, run along, feel good. But I've got to give an account to God on the last day. If I don't tell you, because I love you and I'm concerned about you, this basic truth, and this counts as why all this is, because we're dealing with the Christ of history. We're dealing with a real God, a real Saviour, who really walked the earth, who has a genealogy table, who has eyewitness accounts, all meticulously recorded by the witnesses. You think it's all made up? How could a prophecy 700 years before possibly tie up with something that happened 700 years later if this is all some big kind of gang-up? How can that be? The most ludicrous accusation I have ever heard. And yet people believe it. They want to believe it. Because they don't want God in their lives. Oh, we don't mind a bit of religion. We don't mind a bit of carols. But just don't keep going on about this Jesus stuff, alright? Okay, it's all a bit OTT, frankly. Well, I thank God that Jesus was OTT. He went to the cross voluntarily, and he stays there when people are mocking him, goading him. He could have come down at any time and said, stuff you, I'll show you. Flattened everybody for miles around and gone back to heaven, left you and me in the lurch, and God would still have loved him, and they would have gone on quite happily. But he stays there. He sees your face, he sees your name, and he chooses to stay there and put up with it all, because he knows if he doesn't, you and me, we're done for. That's the strong man. That's the champion. That's strength. That's God. That's love. John Lennon, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the love of God to rebellious ingrates like you and me. This is the wonder and the mystery of Christmas. He's come to set his people free. Will you be one of his people? Will you be set free from the prison in which you are encased? You know it, don't you? No peace, no joy, no satisfaction. Oh, you can go anywhere else. There's plenty of other churches where you can get that, you know, pats on the heads, feel good factors, even better biscuits than we do. But you don't want any satisfaction or peace for your soul. You want the God of the Bible. You want the Jesus Christ from heaven who rose from the dead and went back there. And he's there now praying for the likes of you and me, and who is operating in his church, his true church today, through the power of his Holy Spirit. Until he comes again, which could be tonight, that's going to stir up a few Christmas dinners tomorrow, isn't it? We may not have another gospel service next week. Christ could return this week. Well, frankly, I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't bother me. I'm quite happy for that to happen. How about yourself? Are you ready? Have you made your peace with God? Have you been to the manger and spoken to the Saviour? Have you humbled yourself? God says, I am with him, I come to him, I have dealings with him who is of a humble, contrite heart. And he's looking, and he's listening, and he's watching. And he sees you sitting there, and he sees thousands of souls, right at this very moment in Colchester, but you are privileged. He brought you here tonight to hear these words of life. Not tens of thousands out there who aren't. You're in a privileged position. What are you going to do with this privilege? What are you going to do with this gift? A baby in a manger who becomes a man, who chooses to die, rise again, go to heaven, so that if you believe in him, if you hand everything over to him, heart, soul, sin, he will deal with it, he will make it right, and he will make you peace, at peace with God. That's the best thing you can have. Never mind Christmas presents, you want God's presence in your heart and in your life. There's the prophecy from Isaiah. Now you tell me, is Christ deluded? Is he a liar? Or is he who he says he is? Why do we turn up here week after week to feed on his word, to have our souls nourished and to be feeling closer to God and looking forward to getting heaven? Why do we do this? Because we're nice people? Because we're religious people? Because we're those bigoted evangelicals as we're often branded? No. We're insulted for Christ's name because we know Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, and we are debtors to his grace, and we want more of him. We're hungry for him. We want to get closer to him. Let the world mock. I don't mind. He talks to God. Yes, I do. And do you know what? You can't only half of it. God talks to me. Do you want that relationship? Intimate. Personal. Meaningful. Connected with heaven. Connected to God. Do you want that? Or are you discontent with carols and mince pies? You can have those. But they don't last. They don't satisfy. Christ, the baby who will be, we commemorate, born tomorrow, comes down here for you. He comes down so that he can lift you up to be with him. He comes down amongst all the sawdust and the sin to raise you up to heaven if you would but just humble yourself. And with a contrite, repentant heart, put your hand up. Acknowledge you've broken his word. I have. Have you kept God's word? Do you know the first commandment? Christ summed it up. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment, said Jesus. Have you done that? I haven't. Then we're done for. We can't do it. And if there's one thing the Old Testament teaches is this, and that was the lesson God was teaching amongst others, man cannot live up to a contract with God, he cannot do it. You cannot earn salvation, you will never be good enough, you will never tick enough boxes. You need this Saviour, you need his righteousness, you need this baby. You better get to the manger. You better get to the manger. Be a wise man. Be a wise woman. Have dealings. Have dealings. Let's sing our last song together, shall we? In your supplements, number 15. Let's just close our meeting in prayer, shall we? Let's present ourselves to God now. Lord, you said you will break chains and you will set slaves free and oppression will cease. This is going to be when people surrender their hearts and lives and believe in Jesus Christ. So we're asking you now to break our chains, to release us from our slavery that we've been duped by Satan with, and end our oppression and set us free. Free to believe, free to love, free to live in Christ Jesus. Come to my heart. Come today. Come to stay. Lord Jesus, my Saviour and my Lord. Amen.